While the COVID-19 pandemic is not yet in our rearview mirror, every American over the age of 11 now has access to safe and effective vaccines that work. Dr. Weiss, the chief medical officer at Northwest Texas Healthcare System, has been a leading internal medicine physician in Amarillo for years. But in 2020, he became the leading expert on COVID-19, representing Northwest Texas Healthcare System and all events related to COVID-19, a position he's been in for more than 18 months. This is Get Wise with Dr. Weiss. I am Ivo Terra. Dr. Weiss, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ivo.
Perhaps we should start with the current state of affairs, Dr. Weiss. Approximately 30% of the residents of Potter-Randall County, I just checked this morning, have been fully vaccinated. Another 15% on top of that have had a single shot. How does that track to your expectations?
Well, you hear people talk about what they call kind of this group resistance or herd immunity. And in order to get to that, we've got to have 78%. And that's the only way we're going to really stop this virus from spreading. So unfortunately, at 30% only having being immunized, that is not anywhere close to the goal for us to be able to shut this virus down.
Yeah, we have a long way to go, definitely. And I think part of that has to do with people's hesitancy to take the vaccines, in large part because of some misconceptions they might have. And some of these misconceptions are just persistent. We can smack them down as much as we want, but they continue on there. So what do you say to the residents of Potter County who are hesitant to take the vaccine?
Yeah, I tell them that these are by far the simplest, most beautiful vaccines that have ever been designed. And let me talk a little bit about why I say that. So vaccines have been around for a long time, going back to the 1950s and earlier. And the whole idea was, you know, we have this very complex, elaborate system called the immune system. Mm-hmm. And it's our defense system, and it's a beautiful system. But basically, the immune system's job is to tell what belongs in our body and what may be a foreign invader. As the immune system is kind of doing that surveillance, when it does see something that says, aha, I don't think this belongs here, it takes some time for the immune system to rally the troops, if you will, to fire up and really resist that invader. The whole idea of vaccines is we want to speed that process of the immune's recognition of these invaders. So, you know, the immune system develops a memory. If it sees something foreign one time, it remembers that. So the next time that foreign invader comes in, it can react much faster. So the whole idea of vaccines is let's allow the immune system to jump ahead and recognize that invader much faster. Now, to give you an analogy, if I'm the virus, I said, I want you to recognize my location by the front door. Now, let's say we have a special front door, like a purple front door.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the old vaccines, if I wanted to have that front door, I had to buy the whole house with the door. In other words, a lot of our old vaccines, we took the entire virus that scared us. We inactivated it and then injected the entire virus into people to try to allow the immune system to recognize that front door, all right? And so when you got the whole virus, again, that's just a complex structure that can lead to problems that are not anticipated. So what Moderna and Pfizer did, which is really brilliant, is they found a way of giving our bodies just the directions on how to make that front door. No house needed, nothing else, just the front door. So the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines basically use what's called messenger RNA, which is the code, if you will, for how to make this protein called the spike protein on the top or surface of the virus. That's the front door we're talking about. And these vaccines have actually allow our own cells, our own body, to make that front door, to make that spike protein, and that's it. And then the immune system recognizes that, well, that front door doesn't belong here, that spike protein doesn't belong here, and now you've established the memory for the immune system to be able to respond very quickly if and when the virus does try to enter our body. So beautiful vaccines because they're so simple. There's only one little part of the virus that these vaccines are allowing our body to respond to, as opposed to the old days where we had to inject the whole measles virus or mumps virus or chickenpox virus to allow the immune system to recognize it.
Yeah, so for reasons of safety, for reasons of efficiency, this is definitely a much better way, training our bodies to recognize these foreign invaders. Now, you mentioned so that the next time or at some point in time in the future when people are exposed to the COVID-19, the actual virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you know, these days we're hearing a lot more about some new variants. Delta variant, right. Lambda variant, I've heard them called other number, B117. These seem to be a whole lot more infectious and are really spreading and becoming the most dominant cases right now. So how do the current Pfizer and Moderna vaccines work against these new variants?
Yeah, good question. So just to remind the audience, when we talk about variants, what we're really talking about, these are mutations, and that's the other term people use for them. So remember, a virus, the whole reason a virus infects us or animals is purely to reproduce itself, or to replicate is a term we use. So the virus starts making a bunch of copies of itself. Now, in that process, the virus can make lots of mistakes in trying to reproduce its genetic material. In this case, it's RNA for COVID-19. And now, when it does that, when these mutations come up, when it makes these mistakes, the vast majority of those viruses become inactive. They're broken because of the mistake that was made. But every so often, you'll get a mistake that was made in the reproduction that actually makes the virus more fit, meaning that it becomes more infectious. So good examples would be maybe that mutation makes the virus easier to get into our body or into our lungs. Maybe that mutation makes it easier for the virus to make multiple copies of itself very quickly. Or the biggest fear is maybe that mutation or that variant makes that virus better at eluding our immune system. And that's what we fear, is do one of these mutations prevent our immune system from recognizing that purple door anymore, recognizing that surface protein that it knew to respond to. So when you hear about these variants, and you know, there are a lot of fancy terms, as you mentioned, you know, B101, all that stuff. To simplify it, now they've gone to the Greek alphabet. So we have the alpha, beta, delta, lambda. So these are all these different variants. And so we do know that, in particular, the delta variant is the one that seems to be the dominant version in the United States. In fact, over 80% of cases of COVID right now are the delta variant. We do know that the immune system that has been promoted by these vaccines still recognizes this variant, not quite as efficiently as it did the original COVID-19 virus. So right now they're saying Pfizer is about a 73% effective rate for the Pfizer vaccine against the Delta, a little over 80% for Moderna, and you know, down to about 65% for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So you know, the vaccines are still effective for this variant, but not as effective because of the mutation from the original COVID-19 virus.
That's good information, and also a good reason why people should definitely get vaccinated. However, I believe there are certain populations out there for whom getting the vaccine is risky or should be checked with their doctor. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Well, yeah. You know, again, going back to the safety of these vaccines, again, these are so very simple. You know, when we used to inject the people as a vaccine, you know, there was always that worry that, well, if someone had a weakened immune system, you know, could it be that that virus we just injected does have the ability to start reproducing that person's body? You know, for the most part, that is not a fear with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine because, again, we're injecting the message for a single protein, just a single structure of that virus. And so there's no virus there, actually. You know, I think overall, I take care of people who live with HIV. Some of these people can be immune suppressed, and I still tell them, take the vaccine. As far as we can tell right now, there really are not any populations that are particularly vulnerable to an adverse event from these vaccines.
That's very good news. Well, let's talk about kids under 11. I know right now every American over the age of 11 is approved to go get their shots, but we have not yet made that statement for kids under 11. What about them?
Yeah. Well, for children, obviously, we are especially sensitive to making sure that things are safe when we talk about giving them to children. However, you think about the fact that, you know, how many vaccines do we give to newborns at this point? You know, most newborns get a whole series of vaccinations, and then they continue on, you know, through their childhood. So I truly believe that as we're trying to be safe, as we do continue to do the testing for children, we'll find that this vaccine will be safe to give all the way down to probably infants. So, you know, certainly I believe that any child who is of age right now to receive the vaccine ought to, because again, children go to school, and schools are a place where, in particular, this virus can really just spread child to child if we don't find a way of making sure that we're protecting our kids from this virus.
Absolutely. And protection against the virus is great for vaccines, but, you know, still, even though I'm fully vaccinated, when I go to busy places, I'm still wearing my mask. I'm still doing my best to social distance just to be on the safe side. So what do you think, Doc? Are we going to be stuck with this virus and these vaccines on a repetitive basis for a long time, or is there a light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, I hope so, Ebo. So the best way of stopping this virus, the best way of stopping these variants from developing, is to stop the virus from reproducing. Okay? If the virus can't reproduce, it cannot mutate. It cannot change its surface proteins or change the face to the immune system. So the most important thing is that we have got to find a way of stopping this reproduction of this virus. And vaccines are a great way of doing that. Social distancing is a great way of doing that. So the more we can prevent the spread, then the less this virus can reproduce. Now, the question of, is this going to be with us for a long time? Well, you look at things like influenza, and that's another virus that has the ability to mutate itself every year. And that's why we get a new influenza vaccine every year, to try to anticipate what's going to be the latest variant of influenza. You know, I think COVID-19 may very well take that kind of shape in terms of it will become one of those viruses, one of many viruses that revisit us every year. And, you know, that includes influenza, includes RSV, includes parainfluenza virus, and even there's four other coronaviruses that come through every year and cause people upper respiratory infections. And this virus will probably fall hand in hand with that. My hope is that we'll get to a point where it will become commonplace, and at most we may need, just like a flu shot every year, maybe a shot or a booster that just happens to include what we consider to be the latest variation on this virus. But I do believe that we will get it to a point where it will become just one of those pesky viruses, like all these others, as opposed to a life-threatening pandemic.
Well, I certainly hope that you are right about that, Dr. Weiss. Thank you very much for sharing all the information and the great work you're doing there in Amarillo.
All right, Ivo. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Once again, that was Dr. Brian Weiss, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwest Texas Healthcare System. You have been listening to Get Wise with Dr. Weiss, and I have been your host, Ivo Terra. For more information on Northwest Texas Healthcare System and more details on the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines, please visit nwths.com. Thanks again for listening.